Good afternoon and welcome to The Lunchroom, sponsored by Navita Designs, powered by Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited. And we are live on Radio Caribbean International for a new day. It's Tuesday, November the 26th. It's day number 330 of the year 2019. And we're on to show number 185. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. And in addition to radio 101.1 and 99.1 FM, you can also find us online. Just search for Radio RCIA.com. And as well, you can find us on Facebook Live. Just search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International. And please like and share that as well with your friends. And on the menu today, we'll be speaking about and focusing on the lives of our war veterans. And this year marked the 80th anniversary of the start of World War II when Herr Hitler invaded Poland. And St. Lucia's history has been greatly affected by World War II and its aftermath to this day. And I'll be speaking with the author of a book entitled Our Unsung Heroes, and that is historian Dr. Gregor Williams, as well as St. Lucia's decorated son of the soil and World War II veteran, Mr. Haynes Cyril, now 98, believe it or not. And we'll be speaking about his life before, during, and after the war. And now a few birthday wishes for November the 25th go out to Miss Sarah Lee Williams, Mrs. Eraline Lamontagne, Miss Kashama Francois, and Mrs. Donna Taylor. A happy birthday to you all. And remember, we hope that you have a blessed and wonderful time with health and happiness in the year to come. And of course, if you'd like to send out birthday wishes, you can do so via the lunchroom. Just email us, lunchroom@rcistlucia.com. And just a little bit of history for today. In 1789, America celebrated its first Thanksgiving. In 1865, on November the 26th, Alice in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll is published in America. In 1922, English archaeologist Howard Carter opens the tomb of Tutankhamun, and that was in fact virtually intact in Egypt. And the rainiest, well, not really the rainiest day ever, but the heaviest rainfall ever recorded in 1 minute. And that happened in Basse-Terre, Guadeloupe in 1970, when 1.5 inches of rain fell in just 1 minute. And now we move on to our dish of the day. The Daily Dish is brought to you with the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
We have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bosses Jugros Delay, and Clark Street in J4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
Serving now, The Daily Dish.
And welcome back to The Lunchroom. Now, today, as I indicated, we are going to be speaking and spending a good deal of time focused on remembering our unsung heroes, our war veterans, individuals who left St. Lucia, who served in St. Lucia, and in fact made a major contribution, an important contribution to the freedoms which we enjoy today. And they did so in the first instance in World War I, but also in World War II. Of course, war is no stranger to St. Lucia. We have been effectively a very important military base for quite a number of centuries as a result of our position, our deep harbor, and the assets that we have, our location being very near to Martinique as well. Now, in studio with me is a very well-known St. Lucian historian. He's the former first principal, in fact, of the VA4 Secondary School, I do believe. But certainly a very important principal of the VA4 Secondary School, and a lover of history, and in fact, the author of Unsung War Heroes of St. Lucia. A very interesting book honoring the servicemen and servicewomen of St. Lucia, Dr. Gregor Williams. Thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
Oh, well, that gives me great pleasure to be here, to be doing this. Because for me, we have this fascinating history that we haven't mined yet. I'm glad to see a beginning is being made for that. When I was principal, history was compulsory. And it's, you don't feel bad, you don't feel good when you realize that history has not been taught to our students in our schools.
In fact, it's a very big problem. I was just yesterday speaking to a lecturer of history in South Louis Community College, and he was indicating that it is a crisis all across the Caribbean right now. The numbers of students actually doing history is down tremendously.
Yeah. And you also have the teachers or potential teachers are not bothering to study when they go to university to do history. So history kind of gets under the table now, which I think is very sad. Because if we're going in this international world that we're going into, you need to know the history about the Chinese and the Japanese and everybody else. But we, St. Lucians, have been what I call a warrior people. From the time the first Europeans met the first Caribs, we've been fighting. And we've been fighting right through the ages. Why is that? Because the island itself, its location in the Caribbean, its geology. We are east, one of the most easterly islands next to Barbados. So any kind of transportation or movement from Europe comes to the Caribbean through St. So we're in the middle of the gateway. So news of the revolution, the news of what's happening there, we're right in the middle of it. But we've also been involved in every European war. From the 18th century, St. Lucia has been in it. And we've been also involved with wars between the British and the French. Now, there is a saying that St. Lucia changed hands 14 times. Yes, we changed flags, but I want to make it clear that there were not 14 battles. There were about 8 major battles or confrontations. So I think that's one point that from the whole history books we need to make clear.
In other words, a number of these changes were, in fact, treaty changes.
And when you drop your flags, you get a colony that was taken in. So we need to get that point very clear. But we played an important part in the American Revolution, in the French Revolution. We were one of the key islands. Next to Haiti, I think St. Lucia played the most important part in the French Revolution. And even in the abolition of slavery, you have the chief officer here in St. Lucia meeting the chief officer, would be Admiral Abercrombie, in England after they had the biggest battle. And his name was Goa. And what Abercrombie says to Goa, he says, do you realize it's that big defense you made against our invasion that was able, we were not able to invade Haiti, and therefore we had to leave. And that, of course, was the beginning of the end of slavery in Haiti and in the Americas. Now, that point, well, we don't teach history, so that point isn't well known by the traditional historians. But I think the professor from Barbados does mention that point, that we've played.
And even some of those battles which you're referring to, which happened in the 1790s, involving a very well-known English serviceman, John Moore.
Yeah.
My understanding is that he is still being taught to this day in the British Army when it comes to guerrilla warfare, which he learned in St. Lucia, engaging in brigands with the brigands.
Yeah. There's a nice one I like. When we were in colonial schools, we used to sing the song, the golden Grand Old Duke of York. He had 10,000 men. He marched them up to the top of the hill and marched them down again. Well, Flanders didn't have many hills. Abercrombie was the Duke of York's second in command. And the Duke of York withdrew. Abercrombie was made in charge. So Abercrombie and the Duke of York's men actually came straight to St. Lucia. They left Europe. They didn't even bother to go off the ships in England and came straight here. So the Duke of York's men climbed the hills in St. Lucia And a lot of them died and were buried there. People don't realize that. But so, as I was saying, this fascinating history that we have. So, and we are a strategic island, again, where we are compared to Martinique and the other islands. And we need to look at the whole point that when we were French, we were very, very French. When we were a British colony, we were also very patriotic. So whoever says this, we're underneath them, we go along with this. So St. Lucians can say that patriotism was one of our big virtues throughout the war. Now, the First World War, St. Lucians were involved in that. My father was supposed to be in a bugler, blowing the hole
right.
somewhere in Turkey. And as a little boy, so I kind of grew up among soldiers and veterans and this kind of stuff. But we must realize that the First World War was important because St. Lucians got the feeling of the warrior kind of class and this kind of stuff. The war started off, World War I was between the Kaiser and so on.
The German Kaiser and the Austrians, right.
Mm-hmm. Kaiser, okay. So that didn't last very long, 4 years. Second World War, 6 years. But in that First War, St. Lucian served. And I'll give you the numbers for that a bit later, how many St. Lucians served in the First World War. But we served in the Navy, we served in the Merchant Navy. There was also a St. Lucian who was in Air Force, as far as that. That was one of the Johnsons. He was, his plane got crashed and he didn't survive. Coming to the Second World War now.
And you can find, I think, the names of those in the First World War on the cenotaph,
right.
which is in the Derek Walcott Square. There's a lovely cenotaph with their names, some of the names of those who died.
But in the book that I put together, you have the names of a lot of people in it. Now, you come to the Second World War. How did it start? Okay. The conditions that the Allies put on Germany after the First World War. Come to the Second World War. How did this start? Okay. The conditions that the Allies put on Germany. The Germans were very aggressive about that. So what they did, they rearmed themselves. And got ready for the Second World War. The First World War was supposed to be the war to end all wars, but it didn't. It brought about this war. So how do we get involved in that Second World War? Well, the Germans invaded Poland. They invaded France. The French took their gold, the gold bullion in France, and brought it in an aircraft carrier.
The Emile Bertin.
Emile Bertin. Mm-hmm. To Martinique. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have all this gold bullion there. The British were concerned about that. So they started to blockade the island of Martinique. But then that was not good enough. They didn't have enough ships. So they made this lend-lease deal with the Americans.
Ships for bases.
Yeah, ships for bases. So we allowed them to have the bases, and they had their, so the British had the ships, mm-hmm. and Americans had their bases. Okay. Why was that done now? Because it wasn't just St. Lucia. The lease started from Newfoundland, Antigua, Jamaica, St. Lucia, Trinidad, and Guyana. Now, these islands had air bases, so they had patrols, circular patrols. So these patrols were overlapping. So what you had was a whole series of bases to protect the Panama Canal.
An arc of protection
for the Panama Canal.
Yes.
Because the Germans had built heavily on their submarines, and they were causing a lot of damage to it. So we have the question of that Panama Canal. Now, even we were involved in the canal. People don't realize that solutions were involved in the building of the Panama Canal. First when the French started off, then when the Americans took it over, on two occasions they took it and then gave it back and so on. So some of the soldiers, because that was during the same period, also went to Panama, also went to fight in the war. So we now have in solution now what you call a preventive strike force. So the Americans now have not only supported the British, they come in themselves. They built the base in Beaufort. They've asked for land in Grossley to have an air and a sea base. So you have airplanes coming in, seaplanes coming in, and you have the Navy coming in. And then you also had Pigeon Island being a signal station. As a little boy, you'd see at night time those big flashlight things across the sky and so on. So we come very much solidly now with the Americans in this world war. Then we have, coming up now, soldiers, St. Lucians being anxious to join. The colonial office didn't want black soldiers to join it. So two of the Busquet brothers actually wrote to the colonial office saying, look, you know, why aren't you letting us join and come and fight? We want to fight and this kind of stuff. So they didn't allow that. It was the king himself who wrote to colonial office and said, look, you know, those people volunteered and therefore you should let them come and do the fighting. So we have going on the Lend-Lease agreement comes and goes, Roosevelt comes, he does his thing. Then we're coming into a different situation now. The Americans now have built a hospital, a base, they brought in electricity, they brought in sewage, they brought in water.
It was a really big modernization for VA4 in particular.
That's right. And they returned the base to St. Lucia in 1964. So that would end one part of what I would like to say. And now, So now I've brought you to the bases, the American bases, the British bases. Now, I think Mr. Searle will bring you into
right
where the women have come in. And
we're going to take a break at this point in time because we're going to end our dish of the day at this point. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Mr. Haynes Searle, a World War II veteran.
This has been The Daily Dish.
Plus style. Come plus. Get your style. We have style. We have styles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bosse Jugros Delay, and Clark Street in VA4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
And welcome back to the lunchroom. And of course, this is our special, which we're doing on the unsung war heroes of St. Lucia. And of course, as you know, November is a month of remembrance. We had the November the 11th, Remembrance Day. And that has been celebrated for 101 years this year since the end of World War I back in 1918. And I'm very pleased to have in studio with me a gentleman who is fairly well known across St. Lucia, certainly, and I believe he has the distinction of perhaps being our eldest war veteran in St. Lucia today. He is 98 years old, believe it or not, Mr. Haynes Searle. We are so very pleased to have you in studio here at the lunchroom. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Now, Mr. Searle, take us back to you growing up in St. Lucia. And how did you, in fact, get that inspiration to want to serve in military service?
I was born in Sufra, and had my schooling in Castries. And from school, I was very much involved in sports. And I did very well until I played for the schools and so on and represent St. Lucia in football, cricket, tennis, and also shooting. From school, I joined the scouting movement. And I've always said scouting made me a man. And through scouting, I learned first aid and name it, how to care to the elderly,
right,
and so on in different towns and villages. In fact, that's what we were doing, especially the senior scouts. I did a lot of things in the scouting in my neighborhood. I also see some years back, the young youth used to leave their children, their grandmother and their mother to mine and so on. Mm-hmm. And some were able or capable and some were not. So we scouts who live in the different areas, we were asked to scrutinize to see the people who can help themselves in those days.
And this was the 1930s? It was a very difficult time, and
yes,
there were riots and strikes going on in St. Lucia and the rest of the Caribbean.
You're quite right. And we used to help the people in different communities. From there, in scouting, we used to help go to the different districts where they have poor people and different things like that, and to help them. Or scouting helped me quite a lot. For that matter, I used to do everything for myself at a very young age. So much so, during the disaster in Wavin-Poisson, which destroyed a lot of people.
Right, which was in November 21st and 22nd, 1938.
That's correct. It was the senior scouts were called upon to assist with the rescue operation at the place. And we went there, although I wouldn't like to have this kind of experience before, because it was not an easy thing at this place here. Mm-hmm. We had to get ropes to get people from there, from the house. Fortunately for my crew, we are divided into two. My crew was three, and the other one was four. And we happened to rescue quite a number of people. But we were lucky because there was trees in our area we could see, so we could get ropes and so on tied to the trees and so on to rescue these people. And also, we were fortunate. We escorted about four or five, and they were all alive. But from there, We were told by the commissioner of police, in those days we had a chief of police, and we had a gentleman they called Burton as a Red Cross man. So we were told that the war had declared at that time.
Right. November of 1939.
And we were called, the senior scouts were called by the police commissioner. And we were told that St. Lucia and the Windward Islands had been threatened and so on, because we were supporting the British and so on, because in those days they used to sink ships coming towards the Caribbean very often. So the Germans threatened us, the islands, St. Lucia and Windward Islands, obviously the Caribbean regiment and the Caribbean islands, that if you don't stop supporting the Britain and so on, they will bomb our place. So the Commission of Peace, we all scout from all about. In those days, the scouting was so popular, the whole island, scouts, cubs, guides, and name it, all in uniform. But we were asked to assist the police in the execution of the duties. And what we had to do is to go in this countryside where the people have their estate and different things like that, to warn the people to turn off their lights from 9 to 10. And we started rally. They should pick up from 6 to 10, to take us different area. And mind you, not only send caches, the entire island. Well, we had some problem for the first 3, 4, 5 weeks, but afterwards the people knew the danger and they used to assist us themselves, go all around the country to tell the people to put out their lights at night. There, that went off quite a while, and we were doing that for quite a while. Then they picked some of us scouts, the senior scouts, with crushes and so on, so we would be, in fact, they were getting trouble in getting some of us, you understand, but when we joined together, we will do something like beat patrols and so on, and we will have a crew, so we'll come in a batch instead of four, so we can, the truck can take off all these different positions. But that went out very well, indeed. And then, what really happened, when they torpedoed the Umtata and the Nelson in the Castries Harbour, they had the nurses which we had at Victoria Hospital to assist with some Indians and so on, and so the Umtata and the Nelson and so on, with casualties and so on. So they had to call the first aiders, the scouts, to assist the hospital with people who had to, their bandages, sew their foot and different things like that, to help them out. And about five of us were there.
And you were living in Castries on Jeremy Street at the time?
Yeah, at that time.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that was an experience. So then, from there, they put... I was attached to the ambulance.
The ambulance service.
The ambulance service. I was with a corporal called Five Casabon. In those days, the people were still in the countryside because our area was Barbano area. It go up to Goslet and come back to Castries. And these people went there pregnant and so on. They still had a lot of moments, so we had to go and pick them up. So I was alone with the Casabon. So we went down. We did that for quite a while. And then afterwards, I was transferred to the harbor. At that time, they had the Tammany Macoun and the Net. So they had two boats. One belongs to Hackshaw, and the other one was Tammany Macoun. There were three policemen. At that time, we recruited Bajans and so on to come. These, we had Bajan police.
And this net was to prevent the U-boats, the German U-boats, from coming into the harbor.
That's correct. Right. So we were there, and we used to patrol the harbor by a boat, which belongs to Hackshaw on the other side. They had a machine gun, and two of us used to move out. I was not a gunner then, I was a signaler. And we moved right up to Groslet and back to the hotel down there we have at
the
air canneries, the Atla Top.
Okay.
That lasted for a while. And then the government of St. Lucia asked for assistance, and not only our government, the other governments in the area, because the Windward Islands were the only islands without a defense force. Even Barbados was on top of us. Barbados had a defense force there, Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
So we had men from the 8th Army during the war, and we sent them from the 8th Army to train soldiers for the two islands, for the Windward Islands, because we were the only one had no protection. And there I asked Major Otway, who was in charge at that time, permission to join the army. And where I joined there in 1943. And I had a little advantage because, you know, drilling and so on and so on. And after training, I was doing training. I was assisting in training boys from the Windward Islands. And we were fortunate because we had the buildings there already.
The military buildings.
The military buildings.
The Morn and the Fiji. Yeah.
So that was no problem for us. And we did well. But then, when they had decided for the Caribbean Regiment to assist, that's where the men from the 8th Army came down. And we had some instructors from Guyana, some instructors from Jamaica, and instructors from Barbados had with them. And men like Niles and so on when they're there as an instructor here with us, Barbados, and we had even Riley from Dominica. I can still remember these people here, along with the 8th Army soldiers.
And so about how many persons were in this group, in this regiment from St. Lucia?
In the regiment?
Training.
At that time, we had a number, but you see, they wanted the Windward Islands to provide a company. Now, a company is 120 and it's reinforcement, either 4, 5, or 10, in the event. And the Windward Islands assignment was to provide one company. The big Gala Islands were supposed to, like Jamaica and Trinidad and Tobago, about two companies. And we had the Calicos. That's where we started to take our course at Cap Estate. That was a battlefield for us. That's where we had all our training at Cap Estate. Now, all of us were trained for the protection of our own country. But when they came up, the British people and so on said they wanted a battalion from the Caribbean Regiment, one battalion and its reinforcement. and a battalion is about 1,002 and, you know, about extra individual
right.
to replace. And they want that from the Caribbean, the islands. I want you to understand that. So, these white fellows who came here in the Windward Islands, they were there to select the men after we had the initial training there to form the Caribbean Regiment. So to go up to America for training.
So from St. Lucia, after your training here,
yeah.
you then left to go to the United States
for additional training for the war.
And tell us about that experience. Did you know that you were going to the United States when you left St. Lucia?
I didn't know. I thought we were going to, those who passed the exam, we thought we were going to either one of the islands, because we passed already.
So you thought you were remaining in the Caribbean,
for protection
of
the island.
Yeah.
That's what we thought. But when I tell you that we surprised, not we, because some knew, it was my family probably knew, because all of us had 48 hours leave. Those selected to go.
As part of the regiment, yeah, the battalion.
Battalion. Yeah. When they gave us 48 hours leave, they told us, well, anytime we heard the alarm, at that time we had an alarm, the market, you see, the marketplace there, that's where we had our power station.
Right.
We will return to barracks immediately. I can recall it was a Sunday. There were about 10 or 15 of us at the gate that got burned there.
You were watching a film?
A film. Mm-hmm. But we were all in uniform, and our bags were packed already in the event of anything. Mm-hmm. And while enjoying the well, it's about halfway, we heard the siren, and when we rushed out, there were 10 American trucks, because the Americans were
already on island at the base, that Beaufort, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to pick us up. So then we pack up and everything, and we fell in, and they inspect and so on, and told us that we would be traveling. They didn't tell us we were going to war, but they told us we would be traveling and so on. But we thought, not we, some of us, thought we were going to the other islands and so on for protection. But we landed in Trinidad and Tobago, and some of us only knew something was wrong when we were crossing the bridge, 10 trucks loaded with soldiers, and the people start crying and so on, and waving, and while we're passing.
You mean, so when you were leaving Castries, you were heading down to Beaufort, which is where you then left for Trinidad?
That's correct.
Okay.
And however, we were on the ship, we a new dock. A ship was there waiting on us.
Right.
We boarded, and then destination unknown. However, we landed in Trinidad and Tobago. And we went to the army camp they had there. The next day we collected the troops from Trinidad and Tobago. We took another ship. And this trip took us to Jamaica. All the time we don't know where we're going, just traveling. Jamaica, they had a ceremony for us in Jamaica. A big ceremony, we marched to the city, and that was a great parade. And we stayed in Jamaica for 2 days, and we took another ship, destination alone, with two companies from Jamaica, and we went up. We're reaching in Port Said, Florida. We entered Florida, and from there we pick up some soldiers there in Florida, and we went up to Norfolk, Virginia. That is where everything what they were doing.
Which is still a major and a military base to this day.
Yeah. And that is where then we met all the soldiers from the Caribbean islands. Well, the following day we fell in and so on. And they had their composition. All the Windward Islands one day, Trinidadians one day, and so on, so on, so on, so on. We called the roll, and we were split up into groups. That's where we start with the composition of the companies and platoon. Back with us, we were mixed, because we only had a company. So we were mixed. We had a platoon mixed with the Guyanese, a platoon with the Trinidadians, another platoon from there. And that's where we started training for the war. But I must tell you, the larger countries didn't have that confidence in the Windward Islands, since we only had 2 years.
2 years of training, so they figured that they were better off.
You understand the point?
More skilled soldiers, yeah.
Yeah, that's what. But not realizing the men who came to train us there, they are from the 8th Army and they're just from the last war. So we had the last set of training.
Right. And so after that, you headed to Europe via convoy.
That's correct.
And of course, your convoy, in fact, got attacked by German U-boats.
U-boat.
All right. Before I come to you, let me...
But...
Let me give you my experience as a boy at the beginning when this started on Cashel, and then you will finish yours. Right? So my thing is going to mesh with yours, because then we come to the bombing of the ships and this kind of thing.
Right.
All right. Okay, my experience is different from Mr. Sears. I said that my father was a veteran in the First World War, but he was also a member of the council, the Cassis Council, and they were responsible for watering the ships. And I was the only child of my parents.
I knew that.
So he used to take me with him. So I'd be on the wharf, I'd go on the ships and so on. And also, they were... So he used to take me with him. So I'd be on the wharf, I'd go on the ships and so on. And also, they were also guardians of any ships who would come in. Now, when you come to Manuel Street, you go towards the wharf, there was an opening there, and there was a guardhouse. So he would take me with him to the guardhouse, and he'd have his rifle. And what I really got vexed with my father about, he never allowed me to hold that rifle because I wanted to shoot Germans. So he was said, no, that's too dangerous for you. But you had the Navy. We mentioned about the Americans with their base and with their lights and everything else in Beaufort and Gaza. But the British also had a presence. They kept a presence there. Their warships used to come here because Cassis was always a big harbor. And the ships would come in and they would line up ready to go out. So if there's any trouble, so they go out.
Now, gentlemen, we're going to have to take a short break for our weather news.
Yes.
When we come back, we'll continue that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Christmas!
Yes, it's that time again. Navita Designs, now housed at Rayner Construction and Industrial Products Limited, Vite Boutte, is all stocked and ready to offer you the most unique and elegant Christmas decor for any space. Whether it's white Christmas, red and white peppermint, multicolored candy, or the more contemporary, elegant combinations, we've got it. Don't forget that small accent pieces goes a long way to give that wow effect. And And what says Christmas more than the act of giving? So remember to pick up all your gift wrapping essentials and Christmas stockings to bring good cheer. At Navita Designs, we do the creative thinking for you. Visit us at our new showroom in Bigwite on the John Compton Highway or call us at 450-7246. Navita Designs Christmas Collection, sponsored by Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited. Let the magic begin.
Fritters! Come and get your fritters here! We're giving them away at Island Style, Thailand Bat!
So are you mad? What do you mean, fritters?
Well, madam, for every 100 tiles you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tiles free!
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow, that's a deal! And good timing too! So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas! And look how nice those tiles are!
Fritters! Ceramic tiles! Porcelain tiles! All tiles! No exception! Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Cass Trees, and Latoni, View 4. Call 452-450 or 453 Tile!
Attention, attention, attention! Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shimari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best price batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264, or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win Promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
Well, let us now take a look at the latest weather report as of 12 noon today. It's the 26th of November, 2019. Our forecast for this hour is E. Francis. The present weather at Huronera, cloudy with showers nearby. It's also cloudy with showers nearby at George Charles. The present temperature at Huronera, 30 degrees Celsius or 86 degrees Fahrenheit. And last night's minimum temperature at Huronera was 26 degrees Celsius or 79 degrees Fahrenheit. Wind at Huronera is blowing from the east at 23 miles per hour or 37 kilometers. And after a 24-hour period ended at 8 a.m., there was 9 millimeters of rainfall recorded at Huronera, and at George Charles, 18.2 millimeters of rainfall was recorded. The total rainfall for the month of November thus far, 115.7 at Huronera and 94.4 millimeters at George Charles. Sun will set today at 28 minutes before 6 and rise in the morning at 9 minutes after 6. Now for the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing from the east near 22 miles per hour or 35 kilometers. And the weather, partly cloudy to cloudy at times, with scattered showers, some of which may be moderate to heavy, and a chance of isolated thunderstorms. Residents and motorists in areas prone to flooding and landslides, you are asked to be vigilant, or will remain vigilant, because you were asked yesterday as well. So a recap of the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing from the east near 22 miles per hour or 35 kilometers, and the weather partly cloudy to cloudy at times with scattered showers, some of which may be moderate to heavy, and a chance of isolated thunderstorms, and a call for residents and motorists in areas prone to flooding and landslides to continue to remain vigilant. For the marine forecast, for seas in a 25-mile or 40-kilometer radius from St. Lucia, high tide for the Castries Harbor at 3 minutes after 3 this afternoon, and the low tide at 10 minutes before 10 tonight. And the VFO Bay's high tide will be at 10 minutes after 4 this afternoon, and low tide will be at 17 after 11 tonight. The seas are moderate to locally rough. The waves are 5 to 8 feet, the same as 1.5 to 2.4 meters in open waters. Another advisory for small craft operators and seabathers: You are advised to exercise caution due to rough seas, so please be guided accordingly. And a special shout out to the small craft operators who are normally tuned in at this time to listen to that part of the weather. So there you do have an advisory that you should exercise caution, and that is due to rough seas. So be guided. The forecast for the Lesser Antilles: partly cloudy to cloudy at times with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms over the Windward Islands and areas further south. And elsewhere will be fair to partly cloudy skies with a few scattered showers. That is, partly cloudy to cloudy at times with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms over the Windward Islands and areas further south. And elsewhere will be fair to partly cloudy with a few scattered showers. The tropical weather outlook: moisture and instability associated with a tropical wave will continue to cause cloudiness, showers, and isolated thunderstorms mainly over the Windward Islands and areas further south during the forecast period. And as far as tropical cyclone formation, we are not expecting any of those to develop over the tropical Atlantic during the next 5 days, and that is good news. But for the tropical weather outlook: moisture and instability associated with a tropical wave will continue to cause cloudiness, showers, and isolated thunderstorms mainly over the Windward Islands and areas further south during the forecast period. That is our official weather report at this hour. Thank you, E. Francis. Join us again in the morning. 6:30 on next official report from the Met Service is due on the station. You can join us then. The weather was made possible by Island Style Thailand Bath, Battery World Plus, Caribbean Metals, and Beacon Insurance.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Free tires, come and get your free tires here. Give it away at Island Style Thailand Bath.
Sir, are you mad? What do you mean free tires?
Well, madam, for every 100 tires you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tires free.
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow, that's a deal. And good timing too. So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas. And look how nice those tires are.
Free tires, ceramic tires, porcelain tires, all tires, no exception. Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Cash Trees, and Latoni, View 4. Or call 452-450 or 453. Tire.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shimari's Garage, Blair's Auto, and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best price batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264, or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win Promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
And welcome back to the Lunchroom. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., and in studio with me is Dr. Gregor Williams, a historian and the author of Unsung War Heroes of St. Lucia. And it is certainly an excellent book. It was produced back in 2008 for the St. Lucia X Services Legion. And, of course, one of the individuals captured in that book, a member of the Caribbean Regiment, Mr. Haynes Cyril, who is in studio with us as well, 98 years old. And, in fact, as he indicated much earlier on, he's up until 84, he was still a major athlete, participating in the Caribbean Seniors Games. In fact, I think you won a gold medal, a couple gold medals there, Mr. Cyril, in long jump in particular. So certainly it's a book that I think every St. Lucian family should have a copy of at their homes. But of course, we're very pleased to have one of the men himself, Mr. Cyril, in studio to discuss his own life and, of course, his contribution to the war. But even after the war, became St. Lucia's chief fire officer. And I know he can say quite a bit of that, but unfortunately, because of the amount of time we have left, we won't be able to actually get too much into that. Of course, our number here is 4523046, 4523046, if you'd like to call in and participate in the conversation, or if you have any questions for Messieurs Williams and Cyril as well, please feel free to do so. But just before we took that break, Dr. Williams, you were sharing with us your own experience as a little boy going down Manuel Street and hoping to have a shot
to shoot the Germans.
To shoot the Germans. but certainly it was a very, very difficult time for St. Lucians living at that time. People who were trading between the islands, they were living under great fear that they, at any time, the boat that they could have been moving between Barbados and St. Lucia or the islands could have been attacked and sunk.
I'm not so sure. You know, you kind of go on with your ordinary life, right? So my mother's side was in Souffre. So there you'd have the Americans running away, absent without authorized leave, taking the jeep and running, but Souffre was a dead end. So then the military police would come and then arrest them in Souffre and take them back down to Beaufort. Uh-huh. But that's one of the things you remember as a little boy. But what I remember most is the ships. The British used Castries as a port, to the British port. And the ships would line up from the harbor facing out, so in case they had to go out tonight. And the ship I remember most is HMS Frobisher. Mr. Cyril would probably remember. It was there all the time, like this was its home port.
Right.
But that's one side of it. Then you remember the soldiers and the ATS. ATS was the name for the women, the Auxiliary Territorial Service women. And then the soldiers would go marching. If you follow the army boys, you'll get fever. If you follow the army boys, you'll get fever. If you follow the army boys, you'll get fever, and that fever will never recover. Mm-hmm. So then that was correct. The marginal, and the little boys now would be running after them. And so. So those are little memories that you remember on the other side. But then
we have a call coming in, so let's just take this call very quickly. Good. Hold on, let's just hopefully get this up. We're having a bit of an issue. Yes, good afternoon, and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today? Sorry, caller, we're not hearing you very clearly. I'm sorry we lost that call, but we're not sure what you're saying. Yeah. But continue, though. Please.
Okay. So then you had another side of it, which were the French. The Germans had taken over France, you know, and there was a Robert who had this German sympathy. And De Gaulle was declared the chief of the Free French. And he had invited Frenchmen, young Frenchmen, to join his army. But what would the ones in Guadeloupe do and in Martinique? Because they had no direct link to France.
Right.
So they used to take fishing boats, escape from Martinique, and come to St. Lucia. They did the same thing from Guadeloupe, and they went to Dominica. So the Dominicans had Martinicans and Guadeloupeans, and we had the Martinicans. They came here, we fed them, we housed them, the British government paid for it, and they'd go marching. So you remember the guys going marching, the French. So that's another part of the war that you remember. But then again, the German submarines were operating at the same time. So then the next thing that Mr. Cyril and I will share with you is the whole thing of the Germans and the submarines coming into the harbor. And I think one should not forget that the part that the women played a very important part. In addition to the people who were in active duty and so, the women and the people used to raise money, like raising money to buy an airplane, for instance. That is one participation that we did in the war. So we were, like I say, we were militant people. We were always that kind of people. So I'll let me say, Cyril, continue, and we'll come up to the
And of course, there's
the
a
submarines.
Right, and of course, as you were indicating, when you were going across in, to Europe, to the Mediterranean,
right.
your convoy, the convoys were being attacked by German U-boats. Let's just take a call, which is coming in very quickly first. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Hi. Good afternoon, colleagues, and good afternoon to your esteemed gentlemen. I just want to... Hello?
Yes. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah. Mr. Williams,
yes.
I guess you may have had the experience of the lady on Tata and the bombing of those ships in the harbor.
Yes.
Could you give us a little the real story behind that whole thing? Because I never really get a good understanding of what transpired.
Okay,
thanks very much, caller.
Yeah, that Mr. Haynes...
Well, I think Mr. Haynes was actually very much present on that night and assisting in terms of the ambulance support. And you did indicate that it was in 1942, is it 42?
42.
1942.
Yeah.
And there was two vessels. One was a Canadian vessel, and the other one was a British vessel, is my understanding. The CNS Lady Nelson was a Canadian vessel. And the Umtata was a British vessel, which was being manned primarily by Indians?
Indians. That is the Umtata.
Right. Now, we're told that, in fact, very interesting enough, the German captain of the U-boat, which actually came into the harbor, a gentleman by the name of Albrecht, had actually visited St. Lucia
before.
As a naval cadet.
Yes.
And it was actually part of that whole sort of a reconnaissance almost, going around the island and taking photos and meeting people and seeing the lay of the land, so to speak.
That is how they managed to know the depth.
Go ahead, yes.
That is why they managed to know the depth, you know, of the Umtata, which just around the buoy next to Conway. And the lady in action was braced on the outside of the
So the Lady Nelson was on the western wharf?
Yes.
And the Umtata was
Lady Nelson was there on the northern wharf.
On the northern wharf.
Yes.
Okay.
The Umtata too was just nearly opposite to the Lady Nelson, but close to VG Gap where you see the entrance of VG Gap, where we have a buoy there.
Okay, yes.
So they knew very well the depth. And that's why they said they went in by probably where near the hospital to do that job. And torpedoed both ships there.
Both ships. And there were other ships in the harbor at the time.
There's other stories. See, some people say that there was more than one submarine.
Okay.
There was also more than one ship in the harbor.
And the other ship... There were two.
One of them was an ALCO ship, a Canadian ship. And that was full of TNT. Now, again, there are two stories to that. Some said, one account says that Albright knew that the ship was there, and had he torpedoed it, it would have sunk on his ship and it would have flooded the town. Another account says, no, the other submarine fired, but the torpedo got stuck in the mud at...
At Point Serafin.
They used to have another name for Fritch's place. So it got stuck and it didn't go up. So there are two different accounts, so you're not sure which one to accept. But there is, in fact, that there was that other ship. Two submarines is still up in the air. But that was a very frightening time for people because suddenly you had this bomb and then this torpedo takes place and so on.
But apparently there was some benefit for the people of Castries. I understand there was lots of ice cream available afterwards.
Yes.
That's the part I remember.
Hanging on the ice cream there.
Now, you know, it's a nice joke, about 3 years, 2 years ago, I was talking, I said to my wife, you know, all my life, I remember this blue ice cream, you know, tons of blue ice cream. But you know, the ice cream wasn't blue. The ice cream was white.
Right.
But they came in blue drums. So, so you remember the drums and the colors, and you associated it with the ice cream. But tons of ice cream came up.
Right.
Or the people, you had canvas shoes and felt hats and coats of rain. So you see a guy passing there, and you see his foot with ice cream. Shh, budui, shh, budui. You're mocking the torpedo going and exploding. You see?
Right.
So that's how you...
You got the chichibui, right, term for short pants. Yes, yes, for persons whose pants are not as long as they should be. Yes. Yeah. But
I can recall that there was the wife of Bertie Cox. Mm-hmm. She was traveling to Barbados or something. The Lady Nelson. And I believe she was one of the casualties.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And there we stayed there for a long while, and the removing Indians from the Omtata.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Indians, you know, top.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And there we stayed there for a long while, and the removing Indians from the Omtata.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Indians, you know, torpedoed mm-hmm. and they're drawn and locked.
Yeah, and they're now buried at the VG Cemetery, at the War Memorial Cemetery.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you feel fairly lucky to be alive still, Mr. Cyril?
I am not alone.
Certainly very blessed. I mean, of course, we don't have very much time to get into all the details,
yes.
But
oh, yeah.
I remember you sharing that experience when you landed in Italy. At Mount Vesuvius, at the
That's
foot of
correct.
Mount Vesuvius,
yes.
and how 3 hours after you had left the position, the Germans came and bombed that very spot.
Oh, that's a very good thing, because what happened there, the commanding officer was a bike man, because we landed there, and we thought that was a shelter for us in the Vesuvius. You understand that they wouldn't believe that we'd be there.
Right, and near the volcano in
the
Italy.
Volcano.
Yeah.
And he gave us the command. We only spent 2 hours there. And we traveled all night. And no sooner we left the place, about 3 or 4 hours, they bombed the same place we were in that vicinity. And we never thought they would put bombs inside there. And that would save us the whole Caribbean regiment. However, we entered that camp. They had prepared for us, waiting on the 64 garrison and the Welsh regiment
yeah.
to go and assist, to assist the, you know, we had what they call advanced troops going into Germany. But Germany had different posts and so on, and they were sufficient to handle whatever opposition they were receiving there. They would have killed too many civilians and so on. And that's why they gave us the instruction to hold on. Welsh Regiment
right.
and 64 Garrison. But they gave us our duty was to escort the same 4,000 German prisoners inside there to Egypt. And that was the job for the Caribbean Regiment then. And when we escorted these, for that matter, to tell you the truth, three of us in a cab and a ship was responsible for 30 Germans. And it's one thing I can say, I can remember that, they are well-disciplined troops. They give us no trouble. For that matter, while we were traveling, the officer in charge asked what right we have in this war, because they are not at war with any colored race. I said, I agree with you. We are not at war with you neither. But we are in a peaceful country like the West Indies, St. Lucia. We were not at war. Your submarine came in there and destroyed two of our ships and killed so many people in the Nautic War. And this is why we are here now.
Okay. Now, let me give you some of the numbers of people who died in that.
Yeah, just speaking through the mic.
Yeah. We had on the Lady Nelson, there was a crew of three died out of a crew of 116. 15 passengers were killed. 7 dock workers who were St. Lucians, and 2 gunners on the ship. These were people who died. On Dumtata, you had 4 crew out of 140. You had 33 passengers, and you had 4 gunners. Some people stayed behind after that, like the Titleys. Right? There was a family. He came, they stayed, and they never went back after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the... They became St. Lucians. You know, they registered as St. Lucians. So. Later on, I'll give you some more figures, but you can let Mr. Hayes mm-hmm. continue.
Right. Well, we only have about 3 minutes left.
Oh,
in fact, we're over time already, I must say. Mm-hmm. So what we can do, and I definitely, Mr. Cyril, I mean, I think you have a wealth of stories to tell regarding the Castries fire to mm-hmm. of 1948,
okay.
Your whole role as well in fighting that fire as part of the fire brigade at the time, and how you assisted in terms of building the St. Lucia Fire Service. You became the chief fire officer, and I'm sure you can even share some of your experiences as well in terms of you being a bomb detonation expert as well. But unfortunately, we won't have enough time to get into that. Maybe we'll have to do something just special on the Castries fire of 1948. But just some parting thoughts about the significance of the war and veterans and the importance of veterans today?
I think the main thing was that kind of passion that St. Lucians and Caribbean people had towards helping the war effort. I think that's the most important thing I think that we need to pass down to other people, because we actually had to fight to join the war. Barbadians even went as stowaways because they didn't want them to come in. And you have some outstanding people, you know, like you had 4 Bousquet brothers, you had 3 St. Helens sisters.
Right. The ATNs as well, I think, a very ATNs, big family.
The 2 ATNs were pilot.
Right.
So you have this very passionate thing that Solutions and other Caribbean people, and I think that part is not well known in history, and we must put that out.
And in fact, we have right here Mr. Haynes Cyril, who is one of only 2 of the surviving members of the Caribbean Regiment.
I remember you mentioned something a while ago about the to instruct the people. When I was from the army overseas, they had me lecturing to the college boys about the war. The convent. That building of Marchand, that very secondary school you have there.
Leon Hess Comprehensive.
Yeah, that's right. And that used to be done quite often, right for the past 2 or 3 years, and that gone.
Right.
But when he said, so it's all right, we should have this continuing, you know, give them a lecture, they will know the history of the war and things like that.
Certainly.
Because there was a lady who had a ham radio, and when the Martinicans got stuck, they actually took her ham radio, and that is how the news of what was happening here happened in France. You know? Her name was called Marie, I think, Marie Devaux, and she was a Mrs. Forbes. And you had another, her nickname was the Duchess. Then you had a Daniel Barnard, who was actually court-martialed, is Kenny's brother or uncle, and he took a plane to go and rescue some people, and he was court-martialed for disobeying orders and so. Then you had a lot of people who have distinguished themselves throughout. We had made those things known to young St. Lucians.
That is right. You're right.
Mr. Haynes Cyril, Dr. Gregor Williams, thank you very, very much for being my guest here today. St. Lucia and St. Lucia's effort in the World War I and World War II. And thank you very much. Hopefully it will not be the last. Hopefully we'll be able to get another chance maybe to discuss that Castries 1948 fire, especially in the wake of the burning of the Gaiety down at on the William Peter Boulevard. So thank you very, very much. And of course, to our listeners and those who called in, thank you very much for that as well. Tomorrow, my guest is going to be the leader of the opposition, and he is Mr. Philip J. Pierre. I'm your host, Alex George Jr., saying goodbye.